You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
It's time to get brutally honest.
I'd like to go for 2024.
Okay,
I already said that.
I didn't realize you were there. I thought you'd fallen asleep. It's the first thing you've said in 5 minutes.
I am a little tired right now.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. Big news day in the sports world, and I'm happy to be in here.
And you almost called in sick. Like, that's a lie. I don't believe you.
I swear. I'm not lying to you.
Okay, a Jerry's percentage on, like, you actually pulling, were you...
It's probably closer to 20 or 25%, but that's more than 0%.
You were thinking, like, I could mail this one in?
I legit woke up this morning, and my throat was really having issues, and
I couldn't speak. The Ibaka trade happened, and you said, I got to go in.
Well, that didn't hurt.
You wouldn't have come in.
But no, because I would have sent the email out earlier this morning. You know, this was at like 7:38 in the morning. I woke up, and I'm like, I'm in trouble here. This could get ugly. And the fact that it was even a thought says something about my luck, because you're probably not familiar with this. Jonas Siegel's in here from the Canadian Press. Noodles is calling the Sens game tonight. Remember back in June when the Subban trade went down, Stamkos signed the Hall deal?
It happened within like hours.
It was 33 minutes or something.
23 minutes.
And this guy is on his couch.
Did you call into the show?
I was sick. I actually did call in. I called in.
He was mad because Scotty Mack was subbing in for him. Scotty Mack's voice was all over SportsCenter.
The PK Subban documentary features Scotty Mack.
Yeah.
Like, you know, PK just came out with that HBO Canada documentary, and
Scotty Mack is everywhere.
It's Scotty Mack be like, we have some breaking news, yeah. And like his booming voice, and like he's in the boy's small shirt. He's got the pipes out because they've got video of it, whole nine yards.
You literally on your couch being like, laces out Scotty Mack.
It was really bad. And there was another one.
Scotty Mack is Einhorn.
There was another one earlier.
Scotty Mack.
What happened earlier this year when I was sick? Encarnacion, that's what it was. Edwin signed in Cleveland. There was something else that happened that day, too. Freddie the Goat scored the night before. The Goat scored his first NHL goal the night before in Colorado. Edwin signs in Cleveland, and I was sick. So the two biggest days potentially in Overdrive history, I missed because of illness.
Those aren't the biggest days.
Maybe not, but they were really built in material that were fun to talk about, you know, like so fun days to be a part of.
Maybe when you're bored, you should just take a day off and then something will happen. And then you can come back and talk about it.
But then it doesn't do anything for me because I'm not there to actually talk about it. But I'm here today. And if you're just tuning in, Serge Ibaka is a Toronto Raptor, traded for Terrence Ross and a first rounder in 2017. That first rounder will be the LA Clippers pick. So, you know, we'll see where that ends up.
Isn't it going to be the whichever is worse between the Raptors pick or the Clippers pick?
That was the original understanding, but now I believe it's the Clippers pick.
No.
And Terrence Ross, you know, he was a Raptor for 3.5-4 years, former first overall pick or first round pick. Never materialized into what people were hoping he could materialize into. Very talented guy, very athletic guy, outside shot. When he wanted to play defense, could play defense. But I think he kind of personified the issues this team has had for the past month and a half, where he would fade in big moments, and he wouldn't push through adversity. And I'm not saying it was Terrence Ross's fault that they've had these meltdowns recently. Clearly, that's not the case. But I guess what I'm saying is I'm more than happy to move on from Terrence Ross. And Serge Ibaka is a good fit for them. You know, he can play the four. He can stretch the floor on the offensive side of things, and he's a very strong defensive player, and that's what they need help with.
Well, and he just properly slots everyone into their spot now. Now you can have Patrick Patterson come off the bench and be comfortable with that. Like, there was always this underlying tension with Patterson that maybe he should start, maybe he shouldn't, but it's going to hurt the bench. Now it's just clear. Like, now your bench is better because now you can Now Patrick Patterson just comes off the bench. You don't have to worry about that. And like we talked about before, their lineup options are just so much better now. You can go small. You can go big. Like, you can do all kinds of things.
Yeah, he can play the four or the five.
I don't think, obviously, this doesn't make them better than Cleveland, but it pushes them back into a conversation where if things go right, you know, Kevin Love gets hurt. Who knows? Like, maybe in the playoffs, Kyrie gets hurt. Like, you just don't know. And now at least you have a better chance of being in that position.
Well, and this was a sinking ship where the inmates were starting to run the asylum. You know, players were coming out. Kyle a couple of nights ago. DeMar last week said, you can always use some help. I'm not going to say no to some help. And you could tell that this team was dealing with an existential moment. Who are we? What are we capable of doing? Where are we going? And Masai Ujiri and Jeff Weltman decided, let's infuse some life into the lineup and let's add talent. And Serge Ibaka is 27. He's a guy that's a free agent at the end of the year, but they own his bird rights now. They can go over the tax or over the cap if need be. And that's an interesting conversation because MLSC has spent a lot of money on the Maple Leafs in dead money. Nathan Horton, Joffrey Leupel, Robidoux. I mean, there's a lot of guys who are just getting paid essentially to go away. And maybe now it's the Raptors' turn to go over the cap. Now, the cap is a lot higher in the NBA, but Kyle's going to opt out and want a lot of money. Serge Ibaka is going to be worth a lot of money. It'll be interesting to see what the next domino is. So we'll get Sam Mitchell in studio in about 25 minutes, get his thoughts on that. Big news in the NHL. Michel Therrien is out in Montreal. Claude Julien is in. Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider, reporting that on Sunday night, the Habs reached out to the Bruins asking for permission to speak with Julien. 48 hours later, he's back in Montreal.
And Michel Therrien, I don't think he likes Valentine's Day. Last game in Pitt, Valentine's can the next day.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Valentine's Day is not
his favorite
thought of
day.
Fondly by Michel Therrien. Let's bring in Ray Ferraro. Ray on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. Leafs Islanders tonight on TSN 4. We'll tee that up later in the segment. But your initial thoughts when you heard Therrien's out, Julien's in Montreal.
Well, I was coming down to the ACC for the game tonight, and I was just before this hit, I was on in Montreal. And so as I was coming down, I was thinking, you know, I will probably be talking, of course, about Therrien and what they should do because the Canadians are stumbling around. And, you know, when you have a conversation with yourself and you answer both sides of the question, I was like, I wonder if they'll fire him now. It gives them a few days to get organized. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe they'll let them see if they can turn it around. And I was kind of the thought that if you let him the opportunity to coach out of the break and they win a game or win two games, then does that buy two more weeks? Do you have 2 weeks to wait? Or do you just go ahead and do it now? With all these coaches sitting there, maybe you find one that you're really, really excited about. And Julien was the one, I think, that most people felt if there was a fit, it would be that. And so I kind of concluded to myself that, man, I bet you this, if they were going to do it, it would be now. And then of course, you walk into the rink and the emails come through and off they go. And it's not surprising. It's been a while, I guess, it's that they've not played well. Carey Price said after that last game that they've lost their identity. And, well, if they want to wonder what their identity is going to be now, Julien teams are defense first. Their identity is from the goaltender out. That's how his teams have long been structured, and I suspect in Montreal that will be the return to what they can expect.
I think Brian brought the question to our attention, Ray, when you were on last week. So do you think that meeting with the core group of guys, Pacioretty, Weber, Price, was basically like, are you guys sick of this guy? Like, we're looking back at it now, that's basically what must have happened.
Well, it really does seem like that. And it also was kind of odd that in a meeting that, from my understanding, involved four people, how did it get out? Like were they floating a test balloon to see what the reaction would be? Were they wondering whether, as they have that meeting, like, have the guys had enough? Well, they played in Arizona that night or the next day, and they stunk for two periods, then played a great third period and pulled it out in one. Then they go into Boston, and they lay an egg. And so maybe the decision was already well on its way. And when Julian was released, Brian mentioned on the way in here that so they talked to the Bruins on Sunday night, and of course the Bruins are going to say, yeah, you can talk to them, because that gets them off the hook as well for paying them. So a lot of things kind of moved quickly, didn't they? And I would say it's probably pretty certain that if you're meeting with the leadership group, it's not to ask if the food's good. You know, they've been no good for a long time. They've lived a lot on that 13-1-1 start.
Well, I said at the beginning of the season, Ray, that Mark Bergevin, he's on the clock now. I mean, PK Subban's been traded out of town. Now you've fired your coach, who you've always stood by. Now, if this group of players, and they might do something at the deadline, if they don't get the job done, like God forbid they go in the tank and miss the playoffs or do something stupid like that, but he's really kind of put himself under fire here. Like it's go time for him, isn't it?
I don't know that he's got any other bullets left. I mean, you mentioned that the trade of Subban was controversial and certainly huge news. Now you fire the coach, but I don't know what you think, but I don't see for a second that this roster can be looked upon as completed. Like they need a defenseman, they need a centerman. I would think that that's the priority going into the deadline, but. You know, how much of the future are you going to be willing to pay? And, you know, Bergevin's never really paid much of the future. You know, he's tried to rebuild that prospect pool. And in a draft that's not thought of as a great draft, I mean, why wouldn't you get involved with your first-round pick? If you think you're a decent team, which they do, but you're not a team that can compete with the best guys, which they can't, then I think you've got to make a move.
Mm-hmm.
They've already made this one. But I think they've got to look at that roster and go, man, we cannot win with this defense. We cannot win with Thomas Plekanec scoring one goal in 30 games as one of our top two centermen. They've got to make some kind of move. I mean, this won't be enough, I don't think, to push them into that upper echelon.
Well, I think it
puts centermen's out there.
Though, that's the thing. I mean, Duchesne's the guy everyone keeps talking about. But if you're going to go for Matt Duchesne, by all accounts, Colorado, they want defense coming back. And I don't know enough about the Habs system, unless it's Sergachev, the kid they just took, ninth overall, who's back in Windsor. You know, maybe that would do it. You would most certainly have to put more into it than just him. But
for sure. I mean, they want a D. Like a young prospect, like a top-end prospect. They want somebody off a roster and probably a first-round pick. So the defenseman I think that they would probably look at now is Beaulieu, that is on the roster. I would be really cautious about Sergachev. I mean, it's one thing to trade a first-rounder. It's another thing to trade a guy that has obvious tools that he has. Like Sergachev is good. So if the price is, like, he's really good. If the price for Duchesne involves all of that, maybe you say, well, that's too much. And maybe you look at Martin Hanzel.
That's not going to do anything for you. That's the thing, right?
Oh, like, it's not?
He's a good player.
He's got four goals the last two games.
He's a good player. I'm not saying he's not a good player, but that doesn't mean you can walk away and say, okay, Washington, bring it on.
Changing your world.
That's my point. It's not that he's not a good player, but
guys, you can't change your world anymore.
No.
Well, then good luck.
But you can, though, again, if it's the Sergachev, if it's the McCarron kid. I mean, now we're playing rumors, but that would.
But we're talking about center ice. Why do they need Matt Duchesne?
Well, he can play center. He plays the wing, too, but he's capable of playing center. I mean, he's a lot like Galchenyuk, I guess, in that
Well,
way.
No, I mean, they stuck Galchenyuk on the wing, and they were stubborn about moving him into the middle. And finally, they got moved. They got forced into putting him in there, and he took off. This year, he's been hurt twice. Same knee twice. I think he's missed 21 or 22 games. But they don't have enough pop in the middle. Duchesne has been more effective on the wing the last 18 months and in the middle. He's a natural centerman, been a centerman his whole life. But for whatever reason, he's been more effective on the wing than in the middle. I don't know, guys, but I'll say my thought is this. It is really tough to make the money and the prospects all fit at this time of the year. And that's what's going to make a team like Montreal, if you're trying to get to another level and you've got to carve out part of your defense, which isn't deep enough already, then don't you just make one side stronger and another side weaker? How much better are you?
That's the age-old debate.
Yeah, you can't play Markov 25 minutes a night anymore. You can't do it. And so you're into a spot where you're like, well, if you make, say you were able to put the Duchesne deal together, well, now you got to make at least one more deal because you got to find a defenseman too, at least one.
Right.
And we all know what those things cost. You know, that is really difficult to find.
With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, Ray's down at the ACC. Leafs Isles tonight on TSN 4. If you're just tuning in, big news out of Montreal. Michel Therrien has been fired. Claude Julien has been hired in Montreal.
Ray, I wanted to ask you about Carey Price. Obviously, he's struggled now, but I feel like the sleeping giant now in the next year is going to be his contract, which is up after next season. What do you think this does, or what do you think the big picture is with Price in Montreal?
Well, it depends. They don't have to sign him till next July, right?
Right.
He's got one more year left. If he is the goalie that's given up three or more goals in 13 of his last 18 starts, then he's spending money like crazy, right? The contract's not going to be very good. If this is a four-month or three-month blip and he gets it back, well, then I don't think it's going to affect him at all. You know, I think the money and the term will be there to the highest of goaltending levels, whatever you feel you can pay a goalie in a cap world. I think I would still say he's the best. But, man, he's not been very good for 6 or 8 weeks. And so as much as there's been other problems around the Canadiens, and there's been plenty, you could easily argue if Price was Price, then maybe Therrien would have a job still.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. And, you know, circling back to that players' meeting with Bergevin where it was Price, Pacioretty and Weber, if I'm a media member in Montreal, those are the three guys I want to talk to, right? I think this puts pressure on those guys. You're the leaders of this team. Clearly something was going on in that room.
Well, what are you going to ask them, Brian? Were you asked if you wanted to coach fired?
I would ask that. Doesn't that seem the obvious question?
Well,
they may not answer
it. You're not going to get it.
No, that's
fine.
You're
not going to get an answer.
But that's journalism 101. Like, you got to ask.
Okay,
like,
so go ahead and ask. You're not going to find out anything unless
they decide
to leak it.
Well, I'm not flying to Montreal. But, yeah, I hear you, Ray, but what I'm saying is it puts pressure on these players. Like, just like in Toronto, when Carlisle got gassed, who did it put pressure on? Phil, Dion.
Well, the question
like
is
the top players
during
are the
his presser, isn't it? Did you consult players about this, or was this all done in your own?
Probably more likely to get an answer out of him than the players.
Well, he won't get an answer out of him either. He'll
you
say
might
it's
not,
all on my
but
own.
Something had to happen here. And, you know, when you wonder – and we're all wondering a lot how it got leaked. Maybe it was Therrien. Maybe Therrien said, I'm in big trouble here. They just had a leaders meeting without me. Like, I'm in trouble.
What do you think that's like?
It's like you walking in here and me and Noodles and Steph and Mulls are having a prep meeting.
About the show.
Hey, guys,
I'm not even
did I miss
here.
Something?
Yeah. I might go float that
and
out to McKenzie.
And your part of the desk is sawed off.
Right. Like, I would think that must have sent off some flares for Michel Therrien.
Well, if it didn't, if that meeting was called and he didn't know about it, if it didn't set off flares, I would say that he's not paying attention.
Right.
Like I can't even imagine that they would have had that, and he would not have known about it. Like if they did, he should have walked out of the room and fired him right away, because there was no chance you're going to recover from that. If he didn't know about it, like, there's no way, because then once the guys smell it, you're finished.
Mm-hmm.
When the guys smell dysfunction, I don't know if you agree. Oh, like when you smelled it around a coach, or you're like, oh boy, there's something coming here, and it's coming fast. I don't know what it is, but it's coming.
Well, I've also never had a coach where I talked to a bunch of people close to situations. He was not well-liked. Michel Therrien was not well-liked.
Like Hitchcock-type well-not-liked?
Yeah, Hitchcock wasn't well. You can't be not well-liked. If they all hate you, they'll just say the hell with this guy. They don't care anymore. They'll go end-of-the-year meetings, they'll go right to the GM and say, we all hate this guy, so what are you going to do about it? And that's just the way it is now. It's not about entitlement. They're just brutally honest. They're just like, we hate the coach. And they didn't like the guy. A lot of players did not like the guy. And when that happens, you're in trouble.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I was going to say, there's a way to say things. There's a way to say two things the same way. Like, you can say, don't turn the puck over, or you can say, hey, guys, we want to manage the puck. Now, it might not sound like much, but if you're told time and time again, don't turn the puck over, don't turn the puck over, well, eventually you're like, well, holy crap, I can't even make a pass. Because if I miss the pass, that's a turnover. If you hear, hey, guys, manage the puck. If you don't have a real good play in front of you, make sure it goes deep. Well, then you've been given some latitude to make a play. And when I watch the Canadians, what I generally see is a team that doesn't create much through the middle of the ice. When they get the puck, it goes kind of, if it's not in on a clean break, nothing much happens. They don't score a lot. They don't threaten a lot. And so we'll see what Julian's style of play would be, which, of course, is much the way it's been in Boston. And like I said, it's going to be defense first. They're going to push from the goalie out, and we'll see if the guys respond to this. But it's a new voice. It'll be a lot of times they say the same bloody thing. It just sounds different.
Yeah.
And that is, for a lot of guys, is a breath of fresh air. Because I do know this. I played for coaches that they had a book on me, good or bad, and you can't change it. And for a lot of these guys, this will be a chance to have a brand new book.
You want to take a stab at who is the longest tenured coach in the Atlantic Division?
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
Can't be Babcock or Bylsma, can it?
It's John Cooper. John Cooper. There has been turnover everywhere else.
4 years for Cooper?
I think it might even be less than that.
Holy. I was going, I'm like, well, Babcock and Bylsma came the same time, but I mean, like, that's 18 months. It can't
right.
be that.
And Detroit would have been the same thing. They got a coach at the same time. Florida was about a month and a half, 2 months ago. Ottawa was before this year. Now Boston and Montreal have all made a move within a week. Like, what's up with the Atlantic Division?
What a gig. Well, actually, you know what part of it might be is the fact that it is like it is. You know, like, it's not a division that anyone's really taken control of, so everybody thinks and sees they've got a chance. And so they don't want to fall behind the pack. I mean, Florida's was a different situation, but they don't want to fall behind the pack. So maybe Boston felt like it was slipping away. Montreal, heck, I know Montreal didn't have the best points percentage, but they're in first place. Thanks for coming.
No
out
kidding.
You go.
Yeah, it's weird. And it almost feels like, you know, all these teams are going to fight it out to win two rounds and then get smoked by Washington or Pittsburgh. You know, that yeah. kind of feels like that's the way this is going to play out. So you're, you know, not that that's worthless. It's worth a lot. You know, it's worth a lot for the owner. You get through two rounds, that's a lot of home games. That's a lot of money you're making and a lot of experience. But none of these teams are even close to Washington or Pittsburgh. Not even close.
You know, now, it's funny you bring up Pittsburgh. They lost Connor Sheary a bit ago, and he's been out for a while, and Brian Rust. They think they lost him for the season. And so all of a sudden that puts Pittsburgh as a team to look at on March 1st again. And I'm, you know, like, they're not, they can't be and aren't content to be just a hanger around. And so if these other teams think they're going to get pushed into that stratosphere, well, they got to get some work done between now and March 1st, because it's not enough. Those teams are too good.
Leafs Isles tonight on TSN 4, and you know, every game from here on out, the cliche will be used, it's the most important game of the year. But this really feels like a bit of a crossroads, because the Islanders have been hot since they made their coaching move. But the Islanders know what they're going for. There's one spot available for them. It's that second wild card. The Leafs have the luxury of looking at the second and third spot in the division and the second wild card, which they currently hold on to. You're kind of kicking around the team, and you come and go in and out of the room. Do you sense that their mentality is changing at all with the Maple Leafs? Are they getting fearful of what's lying ahead of them? I know they're saying the right things, but do they even really know what they're walking into?
I think that, Brian. I really do. I don't think they feel the stress yet. You know, maybe they will in 10 games. They don't, like, when you watch them skate in the mornings, they don't. It's not like it's really quiet and everybody's super intense. It's a morning skate. It looks like the rest of them. Today they didn't skate. You know, Babcock gave them the morning off, which hasn't happened very often this year, because he did it early in the year and they laid an egg, and so they haven't had much latitude. But I don't sense that. I just see a team that's going to go through some up and down here over the last quarter or so of the season, and they're the same as Ottawa. They're the, you know, the same as Boston. Those teams are all kind of the same. Somebody's got better goaltending. Somebody's got a better defense. It's just they're all the same. And whoever can get themselves out of the hole that they might be in at that particular time fastest is going to be okay. Like Toronto is, I mean, they've given up way too many goals the last eight games. And they've gotten behind, and that's a bad place to be. If they can change that, then I think they're going to be okay. But if they continue to just to struggle a little bit outside of, you know, the younger guys, then they're going to have trouble. I mean, Kadri hasn't scored in nine games. He's got to get on the board. JVR has had some ups and downs. He's got to get going again. Like, their older guys have to contribute too here.
No question. Well, it should be a fun one at the very least. Leafs Isles, because the last time these two teams played, it was
highly entertaining,
highly
but not
entertaining.
What you wanted.
No, you did. I mean, Nylander scored with 2 minutes left, and 33 seconds later, whatever, it was tied.
That's the Islanders' only win this year when they've trailed after two periods.
I feel like the Leafs have supplied a lot of teams with that stat.
I don't know if that's the case, but you might be right on that.
Right. Enjoy it tonight, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Talk to you then. See you guys.
All right. Ray on Overdrive was brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. They'll get you out of your timeshare guaranteed or give you a complete refund with offices in Toronto or visit timeshareexitteam.ca. Again, we're giving away 3 2-for-1 pizza gift cards valued at $100 a piece. Tweet us your worst Valentine's Day man move at Overdrive1050 using the hashtag man move for a chance to win.
We got another winner.
We'll come back. We'll read the winner. And Sam Mitchell will join us in studio. Serge Ibaka is a Raptor. How does Sam feel about this deal? How will the team react? And what are the chances Serge signs a long-term deal here in Toronto?
I got a sneaky feeling Sam likes this deal.
I think he might, too. So we'll get Sam in studio next. All right, Audible at the line. Sam Mitchell in studio at 6 p.m. Sam will come in at 6 p.m. Dregs is going to be in for McKenzie. Dregs will be in around 6:20, 6:25. Jonas Seager from the Canadian Press. You'll be heading down to the ACC. Leafs Islanders tonight on TSN 4.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Should be a good game.
Sorry, my voice was all.
You all right over there? We're all having our issues today.
I was just eating.
I'm not.
So.
Hey, what's mine?
You've actually been pretty good.
I did have a bit of a side burp before my question to Ray. I learned a valuable lesson in radio today. Don't ever, ever, ever touch a Diet Coke while you're doing a show. I was side burping left, right, and center.
Mm-hmm. It's just not good.
It's a stupid move. The bubbles, you can't do it.
Eating in general, eating or drinking when you're on radio, is generally not suggested.
Do you think back in the day, like, guys would drink on the air?
I'll bet you they'd smoke on the air all the time. Smoking on the air all the time. Like, those old talk shows, like Ed Sullivan.
We got to get some fans in here and a filter and just blow darts for one show.
I guess we could. I mean, we kind of turn the lights out around here. As long as by 5:30 the next morning, Naylor and Landsberger are kind of feeling all right.
How would that work?
I'm going to throw that thing out, by the way. Their little board there.
Their whiteboard.
I hate it. What is it like?
I don't know. It's like a lineup.
You can't have that on a piece of paper in front of you?
I guess not. I don't know. I don't know how they decided to do that or why they decided to do that, but Naylor and Landsberger, they're on top of things. And I'm sure they'll be all over the big news tomorrow because they missed out, right? Serge Ibaka, that deal came down late morning, early afternoon.
Does it feel at all to you like when the Jays got Price or the Jays got Tulo? It's not the same thing. Like, it's not the same degree, but it kind of has that feel for the fan base, I think.
I think this city as a whole, they love any trade where a new guy comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they will, even if it's a
just a fourth, guy?
Yeah, just a guy. They pump it up at the beginning like this is a great acquisition, and then it either goes good or it just slowly goes bad. Like, do you remember the transition of the David Clarkson signing, how that went?
That soured quickly.
That was...
He got a 10-game suspension before he had ever played.
Well, it went from the headlines in the Sun, Wendell Clarkson to a and then it was just
a 10-game suspension. The guy didn't start his season until the 11th game. Like, how's that for a transition?
I talked to John Scott about that situation, and he said he told Randy before the shift, whoever you put out there, we're going.
Mm-hmm.
And Randy thought he would be, like, cheeky, like he's not going to fight Phil. So he throws Phil out there and then bombs away.
John Scott said the same thing to us July 1st. Remember, he was in here sitting in that seat right over there. We asked him about that, and even Phil was kind of like, you're not going to do this, right? And Scott said, Phil, like, be ready, man. I am coming at you. And Phil didn't believe it either. Like, Phil naturally was probably thinking,
this guy's such an idiot here.
Right. Or a good one, Randy.
What would
good
you
one.
Have done? Like, would you have pulled the same Bunyan move?
If I was John Scott?
No, if you were Phil.
Oh,
absolutely, man. I would have taken the guy's kneecap out. I would have gone full Tonya Harding on him. Because I'm Phil, you're John Scott. What do you think I'm going to do to you?
Yeah. You that guy, the size difference, he grabs you and punches you in the face several times. You.
That's not good, eh?
No, it isn't, Phil.
Good it one, isn't. Randy.
Good one, Randy. Good one.
Even with all this news, I could just listen to Phil all day. Let's get the full Pierre Maguire thing. Like, it's like a 45-second bit.
Let's play it all day.
Let's
cares
play
about
it.
Trades.
That should be a poll question. What would you rather listen to us talk about for the final?
How's your breath?
90 minutes of the show. The Ibaka deal, the Therrien firing, the Leaf Phil. Game tonight, or just Phil audio?
How's your breath?
It's not good, right? Do you have?
Do you
it?
Know what was amazing audio, by the way? That day when he went off about Dion, amazing audio.
Another day I missed.
Oh.
I was in Florida. I missed that day. All right, you want to hear it? We got the Phil and Pierre Maguire.
How's your breath?
That's not good, eh?
No, I meant in terms of conditioning.
Oh. Yeah, it's fine. I mean, obviously, it's a fast game out there, and, you know, you just catch your breath and go back at it.
It's been fun watching. Keep having fun, Phil.
Thanks, eh? I can't believe that.
That last part's my favorite part.
I just can't believe that.
Just play it one more time.
I can't believe that.
Oh, I love Phil. Yeah, a lot of people are tweeting and texting and saying, we'll take Phil all day over anything else. And I can't blame them. But you're right about new trades. And especially when
the city loves it. It's like, it's front page. Just my whole life growing up, it's like, we got this guy, we got that guy.
Well, whenever Toronto gets the big name, right? Like Serge Ibaka loved this move. David Price loved the move. Tulowitzki, Owen Nolan, Brian Leetch. Whenever it's the big name, everyone loves it.
Do you know how just painful it was being a Carolina Hurricane? Every year the Leafs would just, anybody that was available, their first round picks would be flying out of the Air Canada Center.
And that's why they've been a joke for long as they have been. Because they traded all of those picks and prospects for guys that were over the hill.
Wow.
Except for you.
Thanks.
But, you know, Owen Nolan, I remember Owen Nolan. When that deal went down, this city was on fire.
Well, he was a big-time stud, man. He was the 40-goal guy from San Jose. Grit. He was everything.
Everything that people thought this team needed. You know, someone on the wing to help out with Sundin, or if you're not playing with Sundin, he's a guy in that second line who's going to push you over the top. Owen Nolan jerseys were being sold left, right, and center in this city.
I remember with the Eric Lindros rumors that people were buying jerseys like before they had even made the move, and it was like a year and a half before they ever even
I know a guy who had a Lindros jersey before he ever stepped foot in the city.
Yeah.
Which is such a jersey infraction. Like, just such a meatball move. But I'll bet you Ibaka jerseys and sweaters are being sold right now. Raptors fans love this move because Ibaka is a guy who fits in beautifully in the four spot, exactly what they need. There are a lot of people in the NBA world that believe it's a foregone conclusion. He will sign long term. So it's not as if this is a true rental, which also I think changes the mentality of a lot of people. I also think it changes the way people are approaching this trade. If you went to Raptors fans and said, I'm telling you, Ibaka is definitely leaving at the end of the year. He said he hates Toronto. He's here to play the games, but then he's out of here. I wonder if the reaction would be a little bit different.
I'd still be fine with it because it's an upgrade. Like, it makes them better for this year.
Okay, but what are you thinking you're going to accomplish? Even with Serge Ibaka, they're not beating Golden State. They're not.
That's true.
So, you know, maybe it helps you out. It certainly helps you out in terms of your pursuit of Cleveland, trying to get through Cleveland if and when you play them. But let's be honest, Boston's rolling right now. Washington's rolling right now. Yeah. It's not a foregone conclusion the Raptors are getting to the Eastern Conference final, period.
No kidding. It's
with
not
or
like
without
they can go
Ibaka.
From the slump that they're in to all of a sudden Cleveland's biggest nemesis.
No.
But you know what's also important for me is this sends a message to Kyle Lowry that if we're management, we're serious. Like, if they don't make this move, if they don't go out and do anything, if I'm Kyle Lowry, I'm looking around at this team, I'm saying, maybe I don't want to stay here. Like, what am I accomplishing here? But now you bring in Serge, maybe you go on a deep playoff run. Now I'm like, okay, maybe we got something.
I agree with you, and much like a coaching change, I think this puts all of the focus on the players. How are you going to react? And as I said off the top of the show, I don't think you could put together a better situation than the one they find themselves in tonight because of who they're playing against. They're in Chicago. They have lost to the Bulls 10 games in a row. They have not beat them since like December 2013 or something like that. This is a perfect night to get over the hump, to exercise a demon in Chicago tonight. Feel good about yourself leaving the United Center and knowing that Serge Ibaka is waiting to join your team the next time you step on the court. Like, this really feels like a crossroads for the Raptors.
Well, and I'm sure they'll look around at the rest of the conference besides Cleveland and say, this makes us better than Atlanta. This makes us better than Washington, better than Boston.
It does.
We are right there now.
Now, they're not playing like it. Again, this trade doesn't guarantee they snap out of the slump, here. And start rolling and playing like they did the first 35, 40 games of the season. But it on paper improves
every trade
significantly.
Is a risk, man. Like, chemistry has to work out. Not every trade is automatic where things just become in sync immediately. There's always a risk of things not working out.
Right.
It's a gamble, just like any trade or whatever you do.
But I think the gamble going the other way is the draft pick, and it's the Clippers pick. And it's not going to be top five, top seven. Terrence Ross is what he is. Terrence has defined himself.
He's a guy.
He's a utility depth player coming off the bench.
With some flash and dash.
There are times where he can go off for 50. He did it against the Clippers, ironically enough. And there are other times where you watch him and say, are you even breathing? Like, what are you doing? And by all accounts, great teammate, great guy, never a malcontent, never a problem. I wish him nothing but success. It's
pretty
not a personal
thing.
Pretty well
liked by the fan base, too, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he was a ninth overall pick, I think it was, eighth or ninth overall pick. Has the ability. You know, he won a dunk contest. He can dunk on guys. He can shoot. But very inconsistent. Eric Kareen had the perfect tweet defining how he looked back on Terrence Ross. Quote, I don't think I will ever shake my head more in both types of disbelief at a Raptor more than I did with Terrence Ross. Perfect way of describing it.
Absolutely. When he was awesome, you were in disbelief. And when he was invisible, same thing.
Same thing. Like, there'd be nights where he'd shoot the lights out. And you're like, this guy can't miss. He's unreal. And then the next night, he doesn't even attempt a shot because he's not even trying to create for himself. So that is what Terrence Ross is. I'm more than happy to move on from him because I think you can fill those minutes with Norman Powell and other players. You've committed to DeMar. DeMar's your star off the wing. But the first-round pick, you know, maybe that develops into something, but they've got their own first to begin with. They had two first-rounders. That's a lot of currency.
What kind of sucks in the context of a Toronto sports fan is this still doesn't – you're not winning a title with this. And you're not going to. Anyway, that's just
more than likely, but you're improved. And again,
you just give yourself a chance.
If he re-signs and now they have his bird rights so they can go over the cap, if you're looking at Lowry, DeMar, Ibaka as your big three going into next season, and Powell still here, Pirtle with another year.
And don't forget about JV.
JV.
Well, all it takes is, like, I think LeBron still leads the league in minutes. He's playing an insane amount of minutes. All it takes is for him to get hurt in the playoffs, and Cleveland is suddenly vulnerable.
Kevin Love, another knee injury. Right, he's not playing for the next 6 weeks. So it's a big move. Sam Mitchell will join us in studio to kick off the 6 p.m. hour. Darren Dreger around 6:25 on the news out of Montreal. Michelle Therrien fired. Claude Julien in. Leafs and Raptors in action tonight. Pitchers and catchers reporting down in Dunedin.
What a routine that must be.
The best. physical, and then golf course. Or pool.
Let's just say they ease into it.
There is not a better training camp in pro sports.
No.
It's 6 weeks long. You're in Florida or Arizona.
It's amazing. The only way to describe it, it's amazing.
It's amazing. Veterans rarely play on the road.
We got to get a former MLB player on and just tell us how much of a joke it is.
If you're in the league for 15 years, spring training must be the greatest thing on earth.
Oh, my God. I can't even imagine the different things that would have been going on. If you know what I mean.
Yes. Valentine's Day. For 6 weeks.
Side pieces everywhere.
We're giving away 3 2-for-1 pizza gift cards valued at $100 a piece. Tweet us your worst Valentine's Day man move at Overdrive1050 using the hashtag manmove for a chance to win. We gave one away in the previous hour, and we're going to give one away this hour. The winner is Matthew Carroll at mcarroll39. Told the wife she didn't get flowers this year because she had a head cold and wouldn't be able to smell them. Hashtag man moves. It's aggressive.
So he won?
He's your winner this hour.
I like that.
We'll give away another one in the 6 p.m. hour. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050. Listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Maple Leaf lineup player of the day. On Friday, call in with the names of all 5 players, and you can win a pair of lower bowl seats to see the Leafs take on Claude Julien and the Montreal Canadiens. Saturday, February 25th, down at the ACC. The theme this week is former players who were on the Leafs roster the last time Toronto actually beat Montreal, which was on January 18th, 2014. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Tim Gleason. Remember Tim Gleason?
Timmy Glee.
Did you play with him?
A couple training camps with the Glee.
They bought him out. Toronto bought him out.
Can you name all the players that they've bought out?
Gleason, Clarkson.
Yeah, keep going.
Like ever, you mean? Since the first lockout?
No. Well, yeah.
Like, do you consider Robida or no?
That's a great question.
Is that a buyout or is that?
That's a.
What the hell is that?
Quotes buyout.
Grabowski, Komisarek, Tucker.
That's
Domi.
Did they buy out Domi?
I think they did.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Imagine telling Ty Domi to his face you're buying him out.
No, thank you. No, thanks. Actually, we'll tack on yours, and you're still playing.
We're buying you out. Bye.
Yeah,
I'll email you.
It would be an email. It would be a gutless Skype.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to do it. Sam Mitchell will be in studio to kick off the 6 p.m. hour on the Ibaka trade and what happens next for the Raptors. And then Dregs in studio as well on the news out of Montreal and teeing up the Leaf game tonight. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.